Section 3, informal interviews, board deliberation action. Number 2, case 2540 regarding Shannon Edwards, CBM. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Shannon Edwards in case number 2540. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it ARS 32-2234. Dr. Edwards, please introduce yourself and counsel.
My name is Shannon Edwards.
Thank you.
And David Stahl appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Edwards.
Thank you.
Sorry. Victoria? I still have a phone.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't have my... We're going to make a phone call really quick. Dr. Edwards.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Let's try again. Okay. Ms. Velasquez, this is Victoria from the Arizona Veterinary Board.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Victoria from the Arizona Veterinary Board.
Victoria, yes.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Are you still able to participate in the proceeding by phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. So the chairman's just getting the matter started. If you'll just, as we discussed, if you'll just remain quiet until she calls on you, and then she'll be speaking to you shortly, okay? But you can listen to what everything else is happening.
Okay. Yes, that's
okay.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Perfect.
Thank you.
And then, Ms. Velasquez, if you have any activity or anything, if you're able to, you can always mute your device, too.
So you say to unmute?
You would be able to mute your device if you have any background noise or activity.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes. I'm trying to stay in a quiet room in my house right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Edwards, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, you may do so now.
We do have one additional material. It's a very brief additional statement from the front desk assistant, Lori Goldman, and it's provided multiple copies.
Thank you. So we'll get that passed around for board members to review. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned in this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. Since present, the complainant will also be given the opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, can you please give us a brief summary of this case?
Yes. On September 17, 2024, Pebbles, a six-year-old female Yorkshire Terrier mix, was dropped off to the respondent for continued lameness of the left front limb. The respondent evaluated the dog and noted she was non-weight-bearing on the limb and a survey radiograph was performed. The respondent stated the dog was unkempt, matted with long nails, and had severe dental disease. Due to the dog's condition and statements made by the pet owner that she would not be giving the dog medication for pain, according to the respondent, she elected to not return the dog to the pet owner, citing animal abuse and neglect. The complainant denies the dog was in poor condition, as she is groomed regularly and is cared for by the family. Law enforcement got involved, and the dog was returned to the complainant after paying for services performed by the respondent. The complainant stated that an estimate of fees was not provided. An open consent to treat the dog was signed at drop-off by the complainant. On September 19, 2024, the dog was presented to Dove Mountain Veterinary for evaluation of continued limping on the left front leg. Sedated radiographs were performed and reviewed by a radiologist. The dog was dispensed gabapentin and Medicam for pain. The complainant expressed concerns that the respondent's conduct was unprofessional.
Thank you. Dr. Edwards, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Dr. Edwards, we would now like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. David Stoll is legal counsel for Dr. Edwards. I know you will handle each of Dr. Edwards' cases here today individually, but before we get to the specifics of this first case, I would just like to make some general comments about Dr. Edwards' practice, because you may be wondering why we have three informal interviews involving her practice today. Her veterinary practice is at 10 East 31st Street, and it's located in South Tucson. It is the longest continuously operated veterinary facility in southern Arizona, and has been providing veterinary services there since 1948. Dr. Edwards took over the practice 33 years ago in 1992, and is currently the only veterinary facility in the city of South Tucson, which is actually a separate city from Tucson itself. The practice is not without its challenges because of the neighborhood and demographics. It is a very low-income, high-crime area where Dr. Edwards typically spends 3 to 4 hours a week painting over graffiti at her facility. It's therefore not surprising that Dr. Edwards sees a lot of aggressive animals and somewhat colorful, problematic pet owners who don't have a lot of money to spend to care for their pets. She obviously fills a very important need and provides a service that few, if any, other veterinarians would be willing to take on. With regard to this case, we respectfully disagree with the investigative committee's proposed violation, except for the minor record-keeping violation involving the failure to document the concentration of gabapentin and clavamox. Admittedly, those concentrations were not noted in the medical record. However, in lieu of the proposed violation of the committee, which was R311-502-L7, this oversight may be treated by you as an administrative violation under ARS Section 32-2233-B3, as it is a routine entry that does not affect the diagnosis or care of the pet. With respect to another concern of the committee, Dr. Edwards did not refuse to release this dog to the owner. She held it overnight at the instruction of the police officer with the owner's consent. As you know, there was significant evidence of animal cruelty and neglect such that Dr. Edwards was under a duty to contact the authorities, specifically ARS Section 32-2239, provides that a veterinarian who reasonably suspects that an animal has been a victim of abuse, cruelty, or neglect shall cause a report to be made with law enforcement. The statute says shall contact law enforcement. It is not discretionary. It's a mandatory obligation that veterinarians have in this state. Dr. Edwards acted in compliance with her statutory duty, advised the owner that she would have to contact the authorities. The responding police officer arrived and then ordered that Dr. Edwards keep and care for the dog overnight until his commander could advise him as to what he should do about the complaint. When the officer proposed this as a temporary solution, the pet owner acquiesced and agreed that Dr. Edwards could care for the animal overnight. The dog was then released to the owner the following morning. We also disagree with the suggestion of the committee that there was a violation of ARS 3222-3218 for not providing estimates. As this board knows, estimates can be both verbal or written, and in this case, the initial front office assistant told the owner the price of radiographs that were going to be given. In addition, Dr. Edwards is adamant that during her initial exam, she personally quoted the price for lab work and radiographs, and the owner declined the radiographs but did choose lab work and medication for, as a first option. Estimates were given for that. At the first follow-up, the owner again was offered and refused radiographs and chose only medication. Verbal estimates were given for services that were offered and accepted and for those that were declined. There therefore is no factual basis for this violation. And with that, Dr. Edwards is now available to answer any questions you may have in this case.
Thank you. I'd now like to ask board members if you have any questions for Dr. Edwards.
Okay. Hello. On that 9/17 visit, this patient was a walk-in drop-off, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. She was already there when I arrived to work.
That was my next question.
Mm-hmm.
So she was there before you got,
mm-hmm.
before you came in. Did you have any conversations with the complainant before she arrived to pick Pebbles up?
Yes, we spoke in depth on the 13th of June and
on the
24th of June.
On the 9th,
7th. No, not on the 17th, no.
Okay.
She was already there when I got to her, the dog.
But I guess the question was, did you have any conversation with her throughout the day?
No, not until she came to pick up the dog.
Until she came to pick up the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Did the staff, other than the initial intake, have any conversations or discussion with the complainant during the day?
I was told that the front office had contacted the owner when I told them, you know, we were done, we just needed to proceed with what we were going to do the next day. She needed to come in and sign paperwork or give verbal okay on the phone. But I did not speak to her, and I did not actually have any information about what they said to her, just that they had spoken to her.
So that was just information to the complaint that we were ready for Pebbles to be picked.
Yeah, basically I said, told the front office, call her, tell her, you know, she needs to come in, we need to decide what to do, show her what it is, and she said, okay, she did, and I proceeded with my day.
Okay. Is it correct that a staff member said the radiographs would need to be taken?
No, I had already discussed the fact that that was the next thing that we were going to do, was to do x-rays with Pebble. What I was told by my staff members was that they physically could not perform the x-rays and got a good x-ray with this dog without anesthesia or sedation.
Okay, my question involves the discussion between the front desk,
mm-hmm.
and the owner before you got there about the radiographs.
I was told that they would talk to her about that at the time that she came in. I don't understand what you're asking.
Well, the information we have is that the front desk did the discussions with the owner before you got there regarding radiographs. And I'm trying to clarify what they said regarding radiographs, and you weren't there yet.
What I believe you're asking is that whether or not they had told her that radiographs were going to be done on the dog.
Mm-hmm.
What I was told was that the price was quoted for x-rays. If an animal comes in limping, exam and radiographs are quoted right off the bat. Those are two things we do if the dog's limping. That's standard operating procedure for my front desk when they answer the phone, talk to people. People say, how much is it going to be? The exam is 85, x-rays are 75.
So that's standard for
everybody.
Any limping dog.
Yep, any limping animal at all, including birds.
What if, so just while you're on this subject, if you have a dog come in and you're examining it and it's limping and they've already been quoted for this exam and x-rays and you find a thorn in the foot, you still do x-rays?
No, because they're asking how much is it going to cost. I do not know until I have examined the dog. So an estimate is given when people ask for a limping animal.
But it doesn't
the exam
do
and
that.
Probably x-rays. Okay. Yes. For instance, if a dog were vomiting, it would be a different quote.
So the conversation then was an estimate based on the fact that you have an exam and radiographs. So that's the estimate.
Yes, sir.
At that point.
That would be a standard response by the front office. Yes.
Okay. In your record, it says the owner declined. How did the owner decline the radiographs? Clarify that for me. It was in your record that they were declined.
They declined to have the x-rays done under anesthesia. The x-ray that was performed on the 17th was not diagnostic. It did not show what we needed, which was the neck, which is what we're looking at. Yeah, right. I couldn't get the dog's small.
Yeah, we'll get
so that. Anesthesia, sedation, yeah. Something was going to have to be done. So at that point, that was the next plan. And Mrs. Velasquez related that she was unwilling to do that and did not want to proceed.
So the record says owner declined, and I guess you're saying she declined that to the receptionist in the morning?
No, she declined to have any more x-rays. And we insisted. I said, that's the only thing that I could do for this dog. I have to do x-rays for this dog.
So you insisted.
She declined it when she came to pick up the dog. Yes. We had, it was an over an hour long discussion. The police came and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll get to that. The owner declined and you insisted. Who insisted? You insisted.
I insisted that we would have to do x-rays, that nothing else could be done until we could do x-rays.
But I'm confused because you said you didn't have any communication with the client.
She was standing right there at about 5:30 that night when she came to pick up the animal.
But she'd already taken the radiographs.
I took one earlier and it was not diagnostic. And so I was going to have to take a proper x-ray under sedation because we couldn't get an x-ray. I tried.
So now I'm confused as to which radiograph she declined.
So they took an initial survey radiograph. It wasn't diagnostic. Mm-hmm. She declined additional radiographs beyond there.
But the record talks about the initial decline. And
no, sir.
That's in your record.
It's in the margin. That is after at the end of it. Yeah. Well, I finished my medical records when the client leaves, so everything is all there together.
And then went back. So that's pertaining to the treatment plan for the next day.
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the margin, that's what that means.
Yes, sir, because it was all on one page.
Okay.
The second page. Yeah, just the first page.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You administered some sedation in the form of gabapentin, but no approval for that?
No, sir, I did not. Gabapentin was already prescribed for the animal to be taken every day. It was not prescribed as a sedation. It was the animal's to be on the medication every day, and she was not, so we gave that to her in the hopes that we could then
okay,
proceed.
Okay, so you did give it to her.
The gabapentin, yes, because that was what was supposed to be given. That was her treatment plan, her orders, that was what she was to be given.
So in the morning, did she approve that with the front desk?
No, because I am the one that ordered it, and she was already gone when I got there at work.
Okay, so they didn't approve it in advance, and you never contacted her about your treatment plan, which included sedation.
The treatment plan was already set, so she agreed to it. When I saw her on June 24th of the last year, we had already said that we were going to continue non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, make sure she eats, continue restricted activity, continue gabapentin twice a day, especially at night, recommend setup prophy with extractions. And that was it. And the next time we saw her was when she came in September. The treatment plan was this dog was to stay on, and she had recorded refills in our computer system to come in and get the medication for a whole year, as a matter of fact. And so when an animal comes in, and I looked at the drop-off sheet, and she said she'd had no medication, she was screaming and crying in pain, I gave her the pain medication. At that time, I think I assumed that, the owner didn't have the medication that she had perhaps run out. Yeah, it was given pursuant to the original treatment plan that we had agreed on twice.
For pain or so?
For pain, yes, sir.
So we could assist with the radiograph?
No, sir. For pain.
Then after, did you discuss placing a splint bandage? You didn't have any communication, so how did she approve that part of the treatment?
She did not approve that. I put it on there so that the animal could be stabilized and we could do x-rays. We were not able to get a hold of Ms. Vasquez until the front office was able to get a hold of her, and it was pretty late in the afternoon.
So do you know if attempts were made by the staff to call her and get approval to put the splint bandage?
I was told that yes, they were.
They tried?
Mm-hmm. When we couldn't do the x-ray, we tried to call. We did not receive from her until the end of the day.
And what
we were actually closed.
And what would the charge be for placing that? If she approved it, would she be given a cost estimate? The doctor wants to put a splint bandage on, and that'll be whatever. And can we do that? What would be the charge if you did that?
If that was what I deemed to be the treatment plan going forward, then yes, we would have gone ahead and given her a quote for a bandage or a splint. What I did was a support wrap so that the dog would keep flopping over in the cage until we could see whether or not we could get her stabilized enough to just take a basic x-ray.
Through the splint.
Yeah, it wasn't as much as a rubber tube
through
bandage,
through whatever,
which is cotton.
Okay, through the bandage.
It's a cotton bandage, yes, sir.
Okay.
And it helped quite a bit right away.
Okay. So you did, you were able to get, to try to get a radiograph. And in your record, in evaluating that radiograph, it says collapsed carpal joint laterally and DJD advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based on your evaluation of the radiograph?
What we could see of the wrist, yes, sir. But okay. That was not what we were originally going to x-ray. It was not just the wrist. It was the whole leg and the neck.
Right. You couldn't get the neck, but you
couldn't get anything but just barely the wrist.
So you obtained a radiograph through the bandage material and evaluated that as collapsed carpal joint laterally and severe DJD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you also indicated that the carpus had a valgus deformity.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the radiograph or based on the observation of the limb or how?
General observation.
General observation.
And the x-ray, what was on the x-ray did confirm that.
So at this point, your presumptive diagnosis was carpal disease.
No, my presumptive diagnosis is cervical disc disease, which is what I figured out was most likely the problem June 13th. And when I saw the dog on the 24th, absolutely, I was clinically sure that that was the problem with the dog.
Okay.
And that probably the collapse, the inability to straighten out the leg was directly related to the neck.
Okay, but let's focus on what you saw on the radiograph.
Mm-hmm.
Was that then a additional presumptive diagnosis?
No,
I think this dog, I'll try to clarify. I think this dog has IDDD cervical,
mm-hmm.
is in pain, mm-hmm. but I'm also seeing these significant changes in the carpus. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put a bandage on the carpus. What I'm asking now is, now you have two presumptive diagnoses.
I disagree.
Well, it's not me. It's me asking, telling you what's in your record, as
so
far as the carpus goes.
Well, what's in my record is that there was advanced arthritis in the wrist, but it did not answer why the dog was non-weight-bearing in the left front.
Understood.
And in order to find that out, we would have to do x-rays of the neck.
Right.
The dog has had limping problems with other veterinarians also, so, you know, I did not think that having arthritis in a wrist at a dog with that age with advanced neck problem was anything unusual. The Robert Jones bandage did allow us to at least get the dog to sit in the cage without screaming. And that was essentially where I was stuck with treatment.
Did you, for the staff, explain, call the complaint and say, "This, your dog's in extreme pain, I need to do something about it"?
We were not able to get a hold of Ms. Vasquez.
So they were trying to get a hold
of her. All day long.
All day long they were trying to get a hold of her.
At the number that she left for us.
To get approval for your treatment.
Let me get the answering machine.
Okay. Have you seen the radiology report from Dove Mountain?
No, I have not.
Okay. In that report, sent to a board certified radiologist, reports no abnormalities of that joint. None. All joints presented are normal.
Okay.
That was the finding of the second veterinarian who saw Pebbles and sedated, took the radiographs, 5 views, sent them in for a report, and was reported back. The only abnormality involving a joint was some possible calcification at the shoulder with one of the tendons there, and was questionable about the IVDD because they found some shoulder changes, but as far as the rest of the joints, no abnormalities. DJD collapse, nothing like that. So your diagnosis, your evaluation was a collapse of the joint and severe DJD and valgus, and so you disagree with the doctor at Dove Mountain and the radiologist regarding the carpus.
Once again, I still had not had a diagnostic x-ray. I can't disagree with something if I don't have it in front of me. The animal was unable to support weight on the carpus, which means that the carpus was collapsing. The x-ray showed that there's increased sclerosis in the joints within normal ranges for a dog that age. But that's all I can answer. Once again, I could not answer any of the questions that would be raised, what was wrong, what would we do, until I had a decent x-ray. And that was going to require sedation and good x-rays, and most likely, if they wanted to pursue it, a visit to the local neurologist.
Mm-hmm.
But we never even got to the x-rays.
So the bandage was placed for
yes,
comfort,
sir.
Not based on the radiograph of the carpal abnormality.
No, that's right. I put it on there so the dog would quit falling over and quit screaming.
Okay.
And so that we could hopefully get her comfortable enough. But when it didn't happen, we removed the bandage.
What about seeking permission to give some pain medication?
Once again,
other than the gabapentin, I'm talking about inject this screaming dog.
Mm-hmm.
In your treatment plan, or what you intended to happen, I didn't see anything in there regarding I need to give this animal additional pain relief so we can proceed with diagnostics.
Once again, Ms. Vlaskis did not come till the end of the day. I gave the medication that we had approved in the treatment plan, which was meloxicam. We did not give the meloxicam because the dog had not eaten, and I did not give an injection.
Okay.
What I gave her was the liquid gabapentin, which she had a standing refill for. So I knew for sure I could give her that without causing a problem. So that's what I gave her.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to anesthetize the dog and do full x-rays and do everything's done. That's what I wanted to do the following day. I did not have the opportunity to do it that day, and I was not able to talk to Ms. Vlaskis till the end of the day.
So did you give instructions to the staff? Please call. I need to get permission to give more pain medication.
We tried to call her first thing in the morning, yes, because we could not do what we had.
What was set up was x-rays and exam,
and we couldn't do the x-rays. So we were going to try to do something different, but we couldn't talk to Ms. Blaskis. She did not answer the phone.
I guess what I'm asking is now you're in the position where you have a dog that's in a great deal of pain. You would like to do some more pain medication so I can proceed, give pain relief, and proceed with diagnostics. So you told the staff, please call Mrs. Vasquez and get permission for me to treat this dog's pain so I can move forward. So they were given, they were trying to get that information that you wanted to give pain medication by injection for relief for this dog. They were trying, while you're doing this, and they're trying to call her to get permission for you to do that treatment.
I told them to get a hold of Ms. Vasquez, that the dog was in too much pain, we could not do the x-rays today, and we're going to have to go ahead and do something different. The plan was to anesthetize the dog the following day, when we would make sure that she was NPO. We could go ahead and do really good x-rays under general anesthesia. We could pull her rotten teeth. We could address all the questions and take care of it. It would cost her less money. She would get everything done at once.
And that was your treatment?
And that was my treatment plan.
For the next day.
Yes, and that we would. I would have loved to have given her more things. We could have given her Simadol, we could have given her something during the day, but once again, Ms. Vasquez didn't show up until we were literally closed.
Yeah, my question was, is somebody actively trying to get that permission?
Yes, sir. Two different people on the arm.
Okay. How long did you intend for the bandage to remain in place?
It was just to keep her supported until we could get x-rays, basically so that she could stand up. She was unable to hold herself up on her left front and was flopping to her side. And when she flopped her side, she'd scream and jerk back up again, and then she'd flop and scream, and that was going on.
Okay. So regardless, when you were going to release Pebbles, you were going to not release her with that bandage in place?
No, she was not going to leave with that bandage.
Okay. If she hasn't had, I guess my question is, if she hasn't had any further pain medication, and you did that for relief for her to be able to stand and for her comfort, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you release her with the bandage in place?
That was not a bandage that was intended to be worn outside of a veterinary clinic. If she was going to go to another veterinarian, I would have been thrilled to send her with that on there for her comfort. But that was not something that I would send home for an owner to have. It was not, once again, it was just a support wrap, just for comfort. That was it.
Okay. But skipping way ahead, then you insisted for continuing care that she go to another veterinarian, and they did that and got an appointment.
No, sir. They did not. They after all was said and done, the final day, and the owner had left, and the dog had left, and 15, 20, 30 minutes had gone by. Then the officer came back in, got the x-ray, and told me that they were taking the dog to another veterinarian the following day.
Yeah.
I just wanted them to take her right away to another veterinarian. I had no problem releasing her to another vet, because she could have gone with that support wrap, and she could have been seen by someone, and she could have had the care she wanted. Obviously, I was not going to be allowed to do that.
Okay. So, looking at the conversation that you had when they came in to pick up Pebbles, several things that we've heard about that conversation. The complainant stated that there was a discussion of her stealing Pebbles. Can you clarify that?
I have no idea what she's talking about.
So there was no discussion regarding stealing Pebbles?
No, I did not
Pebbles.
Want to steal Pebbles.
No, not you stealing. Someone, they stole her from someone.
No, that was originally when they came in. They told me that she was a rescue dog that had come from a rescue group. My clinic, we do not charge full office costs. We also do not charge any exam fees at all for animals who are rescue animals.
When you say when she came in originally. That's the visit before this.
That was in June.
So when she came in June, there may have been a discussion regarding.
There was a discussion then, and then there was another discussion again in September.
Okay.
The original portion in September was I asked if she couldn't afford, when she first came in and was standing at the front desk and said she couldn't afford this, I said, well, can we contact the rescue? Because I work with them. I work with a lot of different rescues. We do discounted x-rays, we do discounted care. A lot of the rescues have got slush funds, emergency funds. Animal control has got Maddie's fund. They pay for an awful lot of medical care, an awful lot of things. It doesn't cost the owner anything. That's where that discussion went. It then degenerated in something I'm not sure what Ms. Vasquez was talking about.
Okay, so on the 17th, when they picked it up, there was no further discussion then of Pebble's origin to the owner. You didn't discuss that. How did you get Pebbles?
I said, well, Pebbles is a rescue dog. Let's call the rescue care and see if we can get some help for you.
On the 17th?
Mm-hmm. She came in. She just said she didn't want to spend any money.
Okay.
And then that, I'm not sure what she was talking about after that. It was very confusing. Yes, I didn't understand it. I kind of just glossed over it and proceeded to try to get the dog treatment.
Okay.
And that was when the rest of the discussion happened.
That clarifies a few things regarding that. When she came in to pick up on the 17th, did you discuss Pebble's hair coat, nails, teeth, etc. with her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did you at that point refuse to release Pebbles?
No.
Why did the complaint leave the clinic without Pebbles?
The police officer that responded, I do not have his name, told me that Pebbles was to stay at the clinic there.
That's not what I'm asking.
Okay.
This is pre any police, before any police, okay? You're having the conversation with the owner, and the owner left without the dog. How did that happen?
I didn't know that she left without the dog. She did not tell me she was leaving. She said she was going to go get her husband while son was in the car.
Okay, so you're saying...
Ms. Vasquez came
in. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Did you, at that point, you did not refuse to release Pebbles?
No.
And once the owner left without Pebbles, what was your plan at that point?
I was waiting to find out when Mr. Vasquez and Ms. Vasquez came back in what we were going to do.
When did you find out that Pebbles didn't go home with the complaint? When did you?
I was standing right there at the front desk waiting for her to come back in. The police officers were responding.
No, not. This is pre-police officer.
There was no pre-police officer.
Before they came in. Before the police came in. Before that. Well, I'm going back to the conversation you had with the owner. And the owner left without Pebbles.
She did not leave. She went out to go get her husband. Mr. Vasquez had never stepped foot in the clinic until that day. So she went out to go get him and bring him back so that we could discuss what we were going to do.
Okay. So I guess we're not getting at the point that I... Your plan at that point, then, before you were told to keep the dog overnight, was what? I guess I'll try it that way.
Okay, so my original treatment plan that I had developed prior to Ms. Vasquez showing up was that we were going to either keep Pebbles overnight or we were going to send her home, and then following morning she was going to come in MPO. We're going to anesthetize her, do x-rays, do her dental, and then discuss the further treatment. She was not going to be able to leave with the support wrap on. There's no way. I was not going to let her leave with that. So is that perhaps the contention? Because I told her she couldn't leave with the wrap. I told her that, and she got very upset with me. I said, no, 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 we're taking that bandage off. She don't get to go home with that.
Was that the 17th or the 18th?
Yeah, no, that was the 17th. That was when she actually came into the clinic. She actually came back.
She left and came back.
No, she dropped off the dog in the morning, and then when she came back that night, mm-hmm. we had a discussion, and she told me all the things that I had relayed. And then I said, well, we need to either get her to another veterinarian or I have to take the wrap off. And she said that she didn't want to talk to me. She wanted to go talk to her husband. So she left the building to go get him. He was in the car, evidently. And then she came back in. I was still standing at the front desk waiting for her to decide. Because if she was going to take Pebbles home and come back the next morning, the support wrap was coming off. Okay. If she was not going to come back the next day, then we were going to have to go and pursue the report that I was going to have to turn in with Pima County. Mm-hmm. My goal was to try to not have to do that.
So at that point, you had not called yet.
Well, I already called the police, yes, sir.
No, all right, reported the abuse. When did you exactly, time-wise, report the abuse?
I called and made the police report that night. The officer showed up. It was approximately 5:45, I think, when he finally showed up.
So after the discussion with the...
When she told me to my face that she would not be medicating the dog. Yes, then I called the police so I could make the report so that we could go ahead and be done with it all. Yeah.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
So, clarify me for me, why did you report?
Because she told me she was not going to give this dog medication, and we'd already been through a couple months of treatment. We knew definitively this was how the dog was going to have to be treated.
Okay.
And she had the medication. It wasn't a matter of her not having the medication, not being able to afford it. We would have given her that. It's not a problem. It wasn't that expensive. She had standing refills. Mm-hmm. She had the medication. She was not giving it. And she looked me dead in the eye when I said, will you give her the medication? I mean, I'm trying to get around not having to do this report. I'm like, are you going to give her medication? Because if you are, we'll just go ahead and proceed with this. You can go down to the veterinarian and do what you need to do. She looked me dead in the eye and said, I will not be giving her the medicine. I won't. And she...
Okay, so...
And I, at that point in time, I called the police.
So reporting the abuse was not based on the condition of it.
No, she's not as bad as most of the dogs I see.
Okay. So when the complainant told you she was not going to give any medication, did you try to help her understand why it was necessary? Did you try to understand why she said that and she wouldn't be giving it, or explain the importance of it? It seems like she just said that and you just said, oh wow, I'm out of here, I'm making a report.
No, sir. We spent almost an hour on the 13th of June. We spent over half an hour on the 24th of June talking about what was going on. We did massage therapy, we did PT, we did laser therapy, we discussed everything that was necessary. When she came in and told me that, I spent literally 25 solid minutes pleading, cajoling, begging. I got down my little display that I have from Daremax that shows the shoulder and the intervertebral discs. I got out another x-ray. I have a dog with normal neck so I could show her what we wanted to x-ray. I asked her, is it a factor of money? Because if you cannot afford the gabapentin, I have someone who pays. I have two clients who pay for people's medication if they can't afford it. I offered to go ahead and let her make payments on this. We told her all she had to do was come up with $150. And we would go ahead and do all the procedures and everything that was necessary. We offered to go ahead and get her set up with Pima Friends of Animals, several different groups, Maddie's Funds, all these different groups that are in there. I even had a paper, and I had the phone numbers written down. I had my contact for pause for cause at Payne County that would have helped her out with the x-rays. Dr. Wilcox over at Animal Control will do x-rays sometimes for people. And, you know, there was never any situation where I said, you must do this. She absolutely told me she would not. She just is not going to take care of her dog. I said, that's unacceptable. Either you have to go to another veterinarian or I have to make this complaint. And that's when, shortly thereafter, you know, I called the police and the police showed up, and that was, the rest of it is all kind of listed out in the narrative.
Can I
so are you saying that after you had this discussion with her regarding help with costs and why it's needed, she then still said, I am not going to medicate this dog?
She said, I will not give Pebbles the medicine.
And this is after you've had this conversation.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So what's your understanding of the reason that you needed to file this, why you needed to call 911 that day?
Because that's how we report animal abuse cases in Pima County. You have to make a police report. The police report is absolutely crucial for the animal control officers, welfare officers to proceed at all. Otherwise, it goes on to a very long list that is about 9 to 10 months long.
So your understanding of our statute that your attorney cited is that you have to call 911 at that moment.
In Pima County, that is what we're told to do. All veterinarians, we were instructed
on that. Who tells you to
do
that in Pima County?
We make a police report. And
no,
then
who told you? Who tells you in Pima County that you
it
have to
was,
do that?
When we still had it was the Animal Cruelty Task Force. It was Pima County Sheriff's Department. It was right when Ananos first came in.
Who?
And they did a training of all the veterinarians down in Tucson. And then I work with, you know, the Pima County Rescue Group and Manny's Fund and so forth in order to turn in any sort of a neglect case. Other than I saw my neighbor's dog and it looks bad and that's it. If I have to turn in an actual real complaint, it is a criminal complaint in Pima County. That's why I didn't want to do it. It's a crime in Pima County. And I have to inform
crime, and what was the crime that you were reporting?
It would be neglect.
Okay.
And then in Pima County, that's considered the same. All those things, you know, denying care, outrage, hitting an animal, or abusing an animal, using it for a bad profit, those all go to the same people. So the police report is what helps them categorize what they're supposed to do and which officer deals with it.
So when you were having the discussion regarding statutes, regarding animal cruelty, you were citing Pima County law, not the Arizona statute.
I did not have a discussion with Ms. Velasquez about any of that.
Okay. So how did the, clarify for me how the pet came to be not released and kept at the hospital overnight? That was just, you were ordered to do that. Was that understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before that, but you didn't refuse to release it. The client just left. They left the dog. You would have preferred to give her the dog.
Yes, sir.
But she just left.
She left after the officer told her the dog was staying.
Well, before the officer.
She did not leave. She just went out to go get her husband and come back. She did not tell us she was leaving for the day. She said, I'm going to go get my husband.
Right.
And then came right back.
Okay. The fees for 917 was $220. Did you give them an itemized invoice? Anywhere was there an itemized?
As a matter of fact, I had told my front office that we were not charging them anything at all because this was still in the midst of being a criminal case, mm-hmm. and I did not want to have any of that to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And the x-ray was non-diagnostic, so I wasn't going to charge for it. My understanding from my front office person was that a person with the party that came in the following day with Ms. Velasquez is the one who insisted upon paying a bill. And I told her, don't do that, and I then sent them a refund check immediately, within about an hour.
Okay, but they never, All right, but they never got an itemized invoice. So, because there were some questions about charges for medication, did she get medication? They were asking about that, and so immediately, well, did we have an itemized invoice? If there was an itemized invoice without any medications on it, that answers that. But apparently, there was no itemized invoice or receipt or anything.
If they pay, yes, they did pay, and there was an invoice given to the person that was in the party, but that was negated immediately as soon as she told me. And I said, what is this? I said, I told you there was no charge for that. And she said, well, that lady told me that she had to pay it. And I just left. I said, no problem. We couldn't reverse it on the credit card because it was a debit card, and it was for someone that was not Ms. Velasquez. So I wrote a check to Ms. Velasquez.
To refund it, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have an itemized invoice, is what you're saying.
Yes, they were given an invoice. Everybody that is charged is given an invoice. It's the DVM package invoice. And it lists everything with charges.
What was on the invoice?
I don't have it with me because we didn't actually charge her anything. I don't have it with me. It's in our software.
Okay. Well, we'll move on.
Dr. Norman.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have two questions that require brief answers.
Yes, ma'am.
Was there any reason given by the complainant for refusing, other than you said you'd addressed financial concerns? Was there any reason that the complainant gave for refusing to give the pet medication?
No.
No reason was given, just flat refusal. Okay. Secondly, what was your overnight staffing that night?
I came down at night and took care of the dog. I got up twice during the night. The second time I didn't actually do anything other than walk in, see that she was sleeping, go back. I live 40 minutes away, so it was an hour and a half trip twice during the night. We don't have any overnight staffing. There's a sign there, and I told the police officer, there's nobody here. I would have preferred to send her to one of the emergency clinics, which is where we send our ICU patients. I would prefer she had gone there. The officer said, no, he couldn't do that, but he did not want the dog to leave. I know.
Can I ask two questions really quick?
Sure.
Just very, very briefly, did Pebbles have muscle atrophy of that limb?
Over the shoulder, yes, and on the base of the neck, there was some atrophy, yes.
And then when you had Pebbles in your care on the 9/17, did you or your staff brush her or trim up any mats or remove any of the fecal material that was in her perineal region?
Yeah, we shaved up her bum. She actually had actual feces stuck on there, so we shaved that off. I do not believe we did anything other than that. I would have done toenails, but she was far too painful. We didn't do anything with her ears. That night when I came in, I did wash her face. I did pick the goo off at the corners of her eyes, but not much of anything else, no.
Thank you.
For the treatment plan for the next day, did you present an estimate for that?
We never got that far.
Okay. After it was all over and the patient was finally released the next day, did you say, this is not over?
When they were leaving earlier, there was a lot of fairly nasty words that were being flung around by the other people in the party and said, we're done, we're done, we're done. And I said, no. And the one person said, well, I'm taking you to the board. And I said, well, no, then it's not over.
So that was a response, in response.
Yeah,
to
them they told saying, me, they told me, and I go, well, I guess it's not over. I will be seeing you again.
Okay. So you partially answered this question just now. I just wanted to ask, how would you characterize the conversations you had with the complainant and the other people in her party on 9/17 and 9/18? Was it a discussion? Was it confrontational? Raised voices? Just how did you characterize? How would you characterize it?
On 9/18, I did not have any conversations. I was yelled at a bunch by people in her party. I had all of my interaction was with the officer, the police officer.
On the 18th. How about the 17th?
17th, I did not talk to anybody until Ms. Velasquez came in that night. We had the discussion we just talked about. Mr. Velasquez came in but would not speak to me.
So you didn't have a conversation? There wasn't a conversation between you and the complainants and the police as a group?
That night, the only conversation that the 17th that night was with that officer. He had a conversation with them and went into the waiting room, and they came over and he talked to me, and I said, well, I have to do the report. He said he didn't want to do the report that night. What do I do? What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to keep the dog, and I will talk to my commanding officer, and the shift commander, or I can't remember who he said, was going to be in the next day, the next morning. We told him we're there at 7:30. I said, I'll be there between 8 and 8:30.
Okay. No other questions?
Any other questions for the respondent? Board members? Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and hear from the complainant in this case. Ms. Velasquez, can you please state your name for the record?
My name is Eva Velasquez.
Thank you. We've read the materials that you've provided to the board. I'm going to go ahead and swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You can go ahead and address the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there
any statement or information you want to give us, or do you want us to go
ahead? I'm very, very moved by all this right now. I need to say everything, but I'd rather, if you want to ask me questions, I have three pages here that I wrote last night about all this that happened at Dr. Edwards' office. So, okay, first of all, I want to say that she is, we brought this up because they told me, we called police on September 17th, and they told us that we had to report it as theft of personal property. So this is what this case is about, theft. And according to Dr. Edwards saying that her staff tried to contact me on the day this happened, is untrue. This is not true. I was by my phone throughout the day, and the phone call didn't come in till about almost 3:30, I believe, in the afternoon. Also, let's see, my husband was at home. I never left the premises that day. The day I went in, Dr. Edwards came out saying that I wasn't taking Pebbles home. She was accusing me of animal abuse and neglect, which I have no idea where she got all this false ideas in her head. I'm sorry, but she was very sarcastic that day with me, okay? I was looking forward to, you know, paying. I went in there with payment in hand. Money for me is not as complicated as she says it is, because she does not know me, she does not know my finances, and I disagree with that. I have here a letter submitted from one of the officers, the second officer, and it states there that he observed the dog, which had bandaging wrapped on its leg and no other apparent injuries. There were no signs of animal abuse. Those are his words. She was Shannon was initially reluctant to release the dog back to the owners after they had been asking for their dog back, saying she was not allowed to release the dog under such conditions as it violated her veterinarian practices and she could lose her license. She required Eva to set up